Magnatamanandasya Janajana Salakaya Saksu Smritan Dena Tasmai Sri Gave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Maravistam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Sayam Pagadamayam Datati Sapandantitam Vantakabhadurubhyascha Kripasindhu Vaivisa Pratitaram Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasaripora Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yesterday, Prabhupada's mercy, by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, we heard about the glorious qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. So astounding were those qualities. One of those qualities was Nivara, which means that he saw no difference between enemy or friend. Like Krishna, Samoham Savabhuteshu Namedveshostinapya, or the Pandit, Pandita Samadarshana, the Pandit or the learned person, he sees that Krishna is in everyone's heart, he sees everyone as a soul. And in this way, he can actually be an affectionate well-wisher of all. And indeed, that's how Prabhupada would sign his letters, your ever well-wisher. Well-wishing to all. What wonderful consciousness. How happy we would be if we actually had affection for all living entities and wishing everyone well. Everyone's benefit. This is actually the mark of a sadhu, a holy man. And one can't be in material consciousness if one is to do this or think in this way. So now we've heard, after hearing about Prahlad Maharaj, we're going to, for the first time, see how Prahlad acts. Text 1, Canto 7, Chapter 5. The great Saint Narada Muni said, because he was describing this to Yudhisthira Maharaj, the demons headed by Hiranyakashipu accepted Sukracharya as their priest for ritualistic ceremonies. Sukracharya's two sons, Sandanamarga, lived near Hiranyakashipu's palace. Prabhupada explains in his purport why Sukracharya became the priest of the atheists, of the asuras. And it was because of his desire for material benefit for his family members and descendants. And Prabhupada even goes so far as to say that a real Brahmana, someone who's possessing full Brahminical qualifications, would not become a priest for atheistic men. Why? Because the point of priestly and Brahminical behavior is to elevate people to spiritual consciousness. So when people have no desire to be elevated to spiritual consciousness, but contrarily, they wish to expand their influence over the material world, controlling the material world, being opposed to spiritual consciousness, one may be able to help them in a material way, but what is the interest of a Brahminical person in that? Unless he has an interest, a selfish interest, not actually performing his prescribed duties. So Sukracharya is being criticized in this way. So Sukracharya had two sons, Sandanamarga, who acted as teachers. Prahlad Maharaj was already educated in devotional life. But when his father sent him to those two sons of Sukracharya to be educated, they accepted him at their school along with the other sons of the Asuras. Asura Bhalakan with the other sons of the demonic aristocracy. Prahlad certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers. But he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy. And thus, he did not like it. Because again, his vision was completely different. He wished the welfare of everyone, and therefore he saw no one as enemy, and no one as a special friend. He did not make that division in the sense of this group I wish to help and I hope and pray for their welfare, and this other group I wish to see them destroyed and ruined and put into difficulty. Friends and enemies. No, he wasn't thinking like that at all. Prabhupada's purport. He did not like this type of education that taught benefiting one group to the disadvantage of another group. Prabhupada's purport. Politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies and another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy, and the entire world, especially at the present, is engrossed in it. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemy countries and enemy groups. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita, a learned person does not make distinction between enemies and friends. Devotees especially do not create friends and enemies. That means no politics, no favored group, no disfavored group. Everyone is wished well. A devotee sees that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamai vanso jiva bhuta. Therefore, a devotee treats friends and enemies equally by trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees, but instead consider a devotee their enemy. A devotee, however, never creates a situation of friendship and enmity. Although Prahlad Maharaj was obliged to hear the instructions of Sandanamarga, he did not like the philosophy of friends and enemies, which forms the basis of politics. He was not interested in this philosophy. Test 4. My dear King Yudhisthira, once upon a time, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful at this time, living in heaven, controlling the universe, making everything work by his own potency, by his own power, by his strength, the center. So his son, Prahlad, was attending school with the other children, and Sandanamarga, the sons of Sukracharya, was teaching them. So he took Prahlad once upon a time. He took his son Prahlad on his lap very affectionately inquired, "My dear son, please let me know what you think is the best of all subjects you have studied from your teachers. Let me know what is the best thing that you have learned from your teachers." He's a young boy, 5 years old, 6 years old, maybe even 4 years old. What is the best thing that you've learned from your teachers? Now, this is the nature of a father, to inquire affectionately from his children, "What did you learn? What did you learn? What is the best thing?" He certainly wasn't expecting any deep philosophy from his five-year-old son, Prahlad. He was just inquiring casually, affectionately, with his son upon his lap. Prabhupada's purport. Hiranyakashipu did not ask his son anything that would be very difficult for him to answer. What is he expecting? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like that, on that level. He didn't ask him anything difficult. He gave the boy a chance to speak plainly about whatever he thought might be best. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, being a perfect devotee, knew everything and could say what the best part of life is. What is that actually the best part, the essence? He knew that. In the Vedas, it is said, Yasmin vigyate savamevam vigyatam bhavati. If one properly understands God, he can understand any subject matter very nicely, understands everything from that perspective, that viewpoint. Sometimes we have to challenge big scientists and philosophers, Prabhupada. But by the grace of Krishna, we emerge successful. It is impossible, practically speaking, for ordinary men to challenge scientists or philosophers concerning genuine knowledge. But a devotee can challenge them because the best of everything is known to a devotee by the grace of Krishna. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10.11, Tesham eva nukampatam aham agyanajam tama nishyam yatma bhavosto gyanadipena vasvata. Krishna, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart as the Supersoul, dissipates all the ignorance from the heart of a devotee. As a special favor, he enlightens the devotee with all knowledge by putting before him the torch of light. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. He gives them the necessary knowledge of buddhi yoga by which they can come to him. Prahlad Maharaj therefore knew the best of knowledge, and when his father inquired from him, Prahlad gave him that knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj was able to solve the most difficult parts of problems because of his advanced Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he replied as follows. So here he's not going to tell his father what he learned in school exactly, but indirectly he's going to tell him with this very nice, important verse. Prahlad Uvacha. Tatsarumanye suravarja dadehinam. Suravarja means the best of the asuras. Not suravarja, but asuravarja dehinam. Tatsarumanye asuravarja dehinam. Sarasamud vignadiyam asadgrahat. Hitvatmapattam griyamandakupam. Banam gatoyad haramashvita. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen into a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, the vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is actually the best of knowledge. Vanam guto yad harimashrita. Leave, go. Leave this place. Prabhupada will explain in the purport. He recommended, at the end of his purport, we'll read from the beginning too, but at the end, he says, Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept Vanaprastha life because as a grihastha he was becoming increasingly demonic due to bodily attachment. Look what he's telling his father. His father is expecting A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and he's saying, Father, you actually can't understand the best thing in life. You can't understand the best that I have learned from my teacher, who's really Narada Muni, not Sandana Marka. You cannot understand the best thing. Why? Because you're too attached to the bodily concept of life. You're too attached to trying to control everything, trying to enjoy everything. So my recommendation for you, if you want to understand the best thing, is give up this. You have to advance spiritually. Varam gato yad haramashveta. You should leave this position. He's just performed austerities for millions of years to gain this position, and Prahlad's telling him, leave it. It's causing you so much difficulty. It's entangling you further in materialistic desires in life due to your attachment. Leave it. Vanam gato yad. Go to the forest. Go to Vrindavan. And what should you do there? Harim. Lord Hari, Lord Krishna, Ashvita. You take shelter of the Lord. You surrender to Him. You become His servant. So Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept vanaprastha life because as a grihastha he was becoming increasingly demonic due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into grihamanda kupam, the blind well of life as a grihastha or grihamedi, a sense enjoyer. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly persons of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Don't waste your life like Vidura came to the palace of Dhritarashtra. We heard about that in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And told him, get out! You're old! You're being embarrassed! You're being insulted by so many situations! You leave here! And at least end your life properly. Regardless of how you've lived your life, of course it's better to live one's life spiritually to advance. But at least at the end of one's life, to leave the comforts before one is kicked out by death. Prabhupada himself was so insistent. If I become sick, he said, if I am dying, he even told me this. I asked him when he visited Hong Kong in 1974 if he wanted some ginseng, because I knew that was invigorating and good for health. So he said, his reply was, that if I am dying, I have told my disciples, if I am dying, I'm sick and dying, don't take me to a doctor, don't take me to the hospital. Put some tulsi leaves on my head and chant Hare Krishna. Because ultimately, what kind of comfort can we maintain in this life? Will old age and death be comfortable? Is that possible? Is it possible to enjoy, have a good time dying? No, so painful, incredibly painful. Unpleasant. The worst possible thing, practically speaking. Prepare for that. That's life's purpose, that's life's goal. Not to, until the very end, enjoy, have, as they do in the old age homes, they have birthday parties and just treat the elderly as if they were children, practically speaking. Have them frivolously waste their time, at least be happy till the very end. And then the very end comes, where do they go? Who knows? Who cares? Who considers? So advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's what Prahlad tells his father. Prabhupada's purport from the beginning. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply with something pleasing but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yes, yasya bhaktir bhagavar kinchana savar gunastatra samaste sura harava bhaktasya kuta mahadguna manuratena sato davato vahi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he's engaged by mental concoction, manaratain, asato, davato, by he. He's by riding the chariot of his mind, speculating and letting his mind wander to whatever it thinks pleasurable at that moment. He's engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato ma jyotigama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Elsewhere it is said, apashyatam atmatatvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life, and who thus stick to life as a grihast or a householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment, cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Kapila Muni explains to his mother Devahuti that time comes, even though it is so powerful and so crushing, it imperceptibly, unnoticeably steals away everything that one values in this world. So Prahlad Maharaj confirms that the valuelessness of being on the platform of material sense gratification, not seeing the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirms this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed, his, Krishna's lotus feet, for guaranteed spiritual success. This is spiritual success, taking shelter of Krishna. Harim Asrieta. Everyone in the material world is in a bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, Vana, and there take shelter of Krishna. So Haranyakashipu, what do you think he did when Prahlad told him to go to the forest, give up everything, go to the forest? I think he said, "Oh Prahlad, thank you so much, a great idea, I hadn't considered that, I'll leave right now, thank you so much." Which way is it to Vrindavan? No. He didn't think like that. When Prahlad Maharaj spoke about the path of self-realization and devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemies, Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons, heard Prahlad's words and he laughingly said, "Thus is the intelligence of children spoiled by the words of the enemy." He laughingly, he didn't take it seriously, because a child will speak one moment something deep and philosophical, and the next moment he'll laugh and giggle, and the next moment he'll take a sweet, and the next moment he'll be eating dirt, and the next moment he'll be running around playing with his friends, distracted from one thing to the next. Oh, where did he learn this from? He's speaking the way our enemies speak, the devotees speak, the Vaishnavas speak. His intelligence has been contaminated, polluted, spoiled by the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada's purport. Hiranyakashipu, being a demon, would always consider Lord Vishnu and his devotees to be his enemies. Therefore, the word parapaksha, on the side of the enemy, is used here. Hiranyakashipu never agreed with the words of Vishnu or Krishna. Rather, he was angered by the intelligence of a Vaishnava. Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna says, Savadamam Pityajam, Mamekam Sharanam Braja, give up all other duties and surrender unto me. But demons like Hiranyakashipu never agreed to do this. Therefore, Krishna says, Namam Dushkritino Mudha Prapadyante Naradama, Maya Aparita Jnana Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest amongst mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. The asura bhav, the atheistic nature, is directly represented by Hiranyakashipu. Such persons, being Muda and Naradama, fools and rascals, the lowest of men, would never accept Vishnu as the supreme and surrender to him. Hiranyakashipu naturally became increasingly angry that his son Prahlad was being influenced by the camp of the enemies. He therefore asked that saintly persons like Narada not be allowed within the residential quarters of his son, for otherwise Prahlad would be further spoiled by Vaishnava instructions. Text 7. Hiranyakashipu advises assistants, my dear demons, give complete protection to this boy at the Gurukul, where he is instructed, so that his intelligence will not be further influenced by Vaishnavas, who might go there in disguise. Purport. Prabhupada has already, in the previous purport, has announced what Hiranyakashipu is going to do to protect his son from being influenced by devotional sentiments. And Prabhupada is going, in this purport, will speak of the point. Patichanai means disguised in different dresses. He was so frightened of devotional influence that he said, be careful that they might become in disguise. They might not come with shaved head, tilak, etc., and dhoti like that. So Prabhupada addresses this point in his purport. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary karmi is necessary because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against the Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in saffron garments with beads on his neck and tilak on his forehead, they are immediately irritated. They criticize the Vaishnavas by sarcastically saying Hare Krishna, and some people also chant Hare Krishna sincerely. In either case, since Hare Krishna is absolute, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, it will have its effect. The Vaishnavas are pleased when the demons chant Hare Krishna because this shows that the Hare Krishna movement is taking ground. The greater demons, like Hiranyakashipu, are always prepared to chastise the Vaishnavas, and they try to make arrangements so that the Vaishnavas will not come to sell their books and preach Krishna consciousness. Thus, what was done by Hiranyakashipu long, long ago is still being done. That is the way of materialistic life. Demons or materialists do not at all like the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and they try to hinder it in so many ways. Yet the preachers of Krishna consciousness must go forward in their Vaishnava dress or any other dress for the purpose of preaching. Chanakya Pandit says that if an honest man deals with a great cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also, not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. So especially in the days when Prabhupada was on the planet and pushing the devotees to distribute more and more books, there was a great issue whether the devotees could adopt non-devotional dress while distributing books. So at one point Prabhupada said, no, it's not good. Especially when he heard that the type of dress that the devotees were adopting or wearing was not gentlemanly. It was more very, very, very casual. It wasn't the dress of a gentleman. So Prabhupada at one point said, no, they should stop that, and the devotees should just dress like devotees. Then it was explained to him that the devotees were not dressing in a very, very casual, inappropriate way. Rather, they were dressing like gentlemen. And if they weren't allowed to do this, the book distribution would decrease. Prabhupada had actually feared that the devotees, by dressing as if non-devotees, would become non-devotees again because they were so freshly from the material world. They would again become hippies. But then when the situation was explained, Prabhupada didn't want the book distribution to decrease, and he didn't want also at the same time the devotees to dress in an improper way. So he wanted them to dress as gentlemen. So putting the two points together, he allowed the devotees to dress as gentlemen and yet dress not in devotional attire. In those days, it was probably very rare that devotees wore pants and things like that. It's inconceivable in this age. In this time, it's only been how many years? Since 1975 or so, 25 years, but things have remarkably changed. So in any case, Hiranyakashipu warned Sandaramarka and warned his associates that they should be very careful to protect Prahlad, this boy, from further outside influence of the Vaishnavas. When Hiranyakashipu's servant brought the boy Prahlad back to the Gurukula, the place where the Brahmanas taught the boys, the priests of the demons, Sandaramarka, pacified him. With very mild voices and affectionate words, they inquired from him as follows. Sandaramarka, this Prabhupada's purport, so the Sandaramarka began to speak to Prahlad very gently. Purport. Sandaramarka, the priests of the demons, were eager to know from Prahlad Maharaj who the Vaishnavas were that came to instruct him in Krishna consciousness. The purpose was to discover the names of these Vaishnavas. In the beginning, they did not threaten the boy because when they threatened, he might not identify the real culprits. Therefore, they very mildly and peacefully inquired as follows. My dear Prahlad, all peace and good fortune unto you. Kindly do not speak lies. Just reply with the truth. These boys you see are not like you, for they do not speak in a deviant way. What was Prahlad's deviation? That he was speaking about devotion, Krishna consciousness, purpose of life, non-attachment to matter, attachment to Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna in the forest, renunciation, clear deviancy from materialism. So Sandaramarka spoke very, very, very sweetly. They didn't want to disturb Prahlad because they wanted him to open up and reveal who had preached to him. And later on they'll say what they would like to do. They'll give up their disguise of sweetness and they'll say what they want to do to such people. These boys you see are not like you, for they do not speak in a deviant way. How have you learned these instructions? How has your intelligence been spoiled in this way? Prahlad Maharaj was still a boy, and therefore his teachers thought that if they pacified the little boy, he would immediately speak the truth, revealing the secret of how the Vaishnavas came there to teach him lessons in devotional service. It was surprising, of course, that in the same school the other boys of the Daityas were not polluted. Only Prahlad Maharaj was supposedly polluted by the instructions of the Vaishnavas. The main duty of the teachers was to inquire who those Vaishnavas were that came to teach Prahlad and spoil his intelligence. They continued, "O best of your family, how is this pollution of your intelligence been brought about by you or by the enemies? We are all your teachers and are very eager to hear about this. Please tell us the truth. Why is it that Prahlad alone, of all the students, was speaking like a devotee? How could this have happened? The boys are protected. No one comes in. No one's allowed to come in. How is it possible?" Prabhupada's short purport. Prahlad Maharaj's teachers were astonished that a small boy could speak such exalted Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, they inquired about the Vaishnavas who stealthily taught it to him, in order that these Vaishnavas might be arrested and killed in the presence of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu. That was the plan. Find out who's causing this disturbance, have them killed. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Maya has created this way of thinking. This one is my enemy, should be brought to Hiranyakashipu and killed. This one is my friend, he thinks the way I do. Reward him." This is Maya's actions, Prahlad says, deluding the intelligence of man. "Indeed," Prahlad continues, "I am now actually experiencing this, although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources. Now I'm hearing people actually speak in this way." He was shocked, astounded. Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.18, "Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini shini chai vasvapake cha pandita samadarshana." The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. Pandita, those who are actually learned, the equipoise, advanced devotees who have full knowledge of everything, do not see any living entity as an enemy or friend. So we're getting an opportunity to examine Prahlad's consciousness. Instead, with broader vision, they see that everyone is part of Krishna, as confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas." Every living entity, being part of the Supreme Lord, is meant to serve the Lord, just as every part of the body is meant to serve the whole body. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one. They have a oneness. What is the oneness? What is the commonality? Everyone is a servant of God. As servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one. But a Vaishnava, because of his natural humility, addresses every other living entity as Prabhu. Prabhu means master. A Vaishnava sees other servants to be so advanced that he has much to learn from them. Thus he accepts all other devotees of the Lord as Prabhus, masters. Although everyone is a servant of the Lord, one Vaishnava servant, because of humility, sees another servant as his master. Understanding of the master begins from understanding of the spiritual master. So understanding the Supreme Master Krishna becomes from comes from understanding first primarily the spiritual master, that he's a spiritual master, and then similarly understanding every living entity as Prabhu master comes from that as well. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati katopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Shakshadhari tvena samasta sastraya uktastata bhavya eva sadbhi kintu prabhu ya priya eva tasya vande guru sri charanaravinda. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. Shakshat Hari, he is directly Hari. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. The spiritual master, the servant of God, is engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, namely delivering all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya, in which one thinks, this person is my enemy and that one is my friend. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the friend of all living entities, and all living entities are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. Oneness is possible through this understanding, not through artificially thinking that every one of us is God or equal to God. So the Mayavadi philosophers, Mayavadi philosophy states, rather than what Prabhupada said, that everyone, the oneness, noting the oneness is that everyone is one, in that everyone is a servant of God, and that, using that distinguishing characteristic, they on the other hand say that everyone is God and that there is no difference between the living entity and God. So we are equal to God qualitatively, but not obviously, obviously not quantitatively. He is big, we are tiny. If we were equal in all respects, how is it that we have fallen into Maya and illusion? So Prahlad says, now I'm actually hearing people speak in terms of friends and enemies. He's amazed, astounded. He continues, when the supreme personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pandit and does not make distinction between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks, every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Purport. When Prahlad Maharaj's teachers and demoniac father asked him how his intelligence had been polluted, Prahlad Maharaj had said, as far as I am concerned, my intelligence has not been polluted. Rather, by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of my Lord Krishna, I have now learned that no one is my enemy and no one is my friend. So in what sense is no one a friend? Does that mean we shouldn't have any friendship amongst the devotees? Because we don't want to create enemies and friends? Is that what it means? No. We are all actually eternal servants of Krishna. But under the influence of external energy, we think that we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. This mistaken idea has now been corrected, and therefore, unlike ordinary human beings, Prahlad Maharaj, quoting Prahlad, unlike ordinary living beings, I no longer think that I am God and that others are my friends and enemies. Now I am rightly thinking that everyone is an eternal servant of God, and that our duty is to serve the Supreme Master. But then we shall stand on the platform of oneness as servants. So friendly to all living entities. This is how a devotee acts. He doesn't make the division and he doesn't negate friendship to any living entities. Rather, on the other hand, he's the well-wishing friend of all living entities. Demons think of everyone as a friend or enemy. But Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnava treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, and other groups of friends and enemies. So that type of friends and friends is rejected based on exclusive categories. This is my community. That means that those aren't members of my community. Even if our community is of all humanity, that excludes all the other living entities, and they become our enemies. But when one acknowledges that every living entity is a part of the Lord, part and parcel of the Lord, then everyone is fully inclusive. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada continues, and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. The Ishopanishad advises, Ekatvam anupashyataha. A devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart, and should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. This vision is called Ekatvam, oneness. Although there is a relationship of master and servant, both master and servant are one because of their spiritual identity. This is also Ekatvam. Thus the conception of Ekatvam for the Vaishnava is different from that of a Mayavadi. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj how he had become antagonistic to his family. When a family member is killed by an enemy, all the members of the family would naturally be inimical to the murderer. But Hiranyakashipu saw that Prahlad had become friendly with the murderer. Therefore he asked, who has created this kind of intelligence in you? Have you developed this consciousness by yourself? Since you're a small boy, someone must have induced you to think in this way. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to reply that an attitude favorable toward Vishnu can develop only when the Lord is favorable. Sa yadu anuvrattaha, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the friend of everyone. Suridam savabhutanam yadvamam shantim. The Lord is never an enemy to any of the millions of living entities, but is always a friend to everyone. This is true understanding. If one thinks that the Lord is an enemy, his intelligence is pashubuddhi, the intelligence of an animal. He falsely thinks I am different from my enemy, and my enemy is different from me. The enemy has done this, and therefore my duty is to kill him. This misconception is described in this verse as beda gadasati. The actual fact is that everyone is a servant of the Lord, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Sarup Hoy Krishner Nityadas. As servants of the Lord, we are one, and there could be no question of enmity or friendship. If one actually understands that every one of us is a servant of the Lord, where is the question of enemy or friend? Everyone should be friendly for the service of the Lord. Everyone should praise another's service to the Lord and not be proud of his own service. This is the way of Vaishnava thinking, Vaikuntha thinking. There may be rivalries and apparent competition between servants in performing service, but in the Vaikuntha planets, the service of another servant is appreciated, not condemned. This is Vaikuntha competition. There is no question of enmity between servants. Everyone should be allowed to render service to the Lord to the best of his ability, and everyone should appreciate the service of others. Such are the activities of Vaikuntha. Since everyone is a servant, everyone is on the same platform and is allowed to serve the Lord according to his ability. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15, Sarvasya Chamradesanavistom Mater Smitam Gyanamapovanam Cha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, giving dictation according to the attitude of the servant. However, the Lord gives different dictation to the non-devotees and devotees. The non-devotees challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord dictates in such a way that the non-devotees forget the Lord's service, life after life, and are punished by the laws of nature. But when a devotee very sincerely wants to render service to the Lord dictates in a different way. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Tesham satate yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Everyone is actually a servant, not an enemy or friend, and everyone is working under different directions from the Lord, who directs every living entity according to his mentality. So Prahlad Maharaj is continually talking. And who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Sandana Marga. Persons, text 13, who always think in terms of enemy and friend, are unable to ascertain the supersoul within themselves. Not to speak of them, even such exalted persons as Lord Brahma, who are fully conversant with the Vedic literature, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created this situation, has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemies. So he's answering very strongly. They're asking, where did you learn this from? And his reply is, this isn't pollution. This isn't polluted consciousness. But one learns this when the Lord is pleased with him. He dictates to everyone the mentality that they have according to their desires. He gives everyone intelligence. And to the devotees, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, he gives them intelligence how to come to him. So the person who is given this situation, that same Supreme Person, he is the one who has created this situation, he is the one who has given me this mentality, this intelligence. This intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. It is Krishna. Prabhupada's short purport. Prahlad Maharaj admitted frankly, my dear teachers, you wrongly think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy. But because he is favorable toward me, I understand that he is the friend of everyone. You may think that I have taken the side of your enemy, but factually he has bestowed a great favor upon me. We'll read one more verse. A very wonderful verse. They're asking him, who has created this mentality in you? And here is Prahlad's reply. Where did this mentality come from? O Brahmanas, teachers, as iron attracted by a magnetic stone moves automatically toward the magnet, my consciousness, having been changed by his will, by Krishna's will, is attracted by Lord Vishnu, who carries a disc in his hand. Thus I have no independence. Prabhupada's purport. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities to be attracted towards Krishna is natural. And therefore the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical example of such attraction Typical examples of such attraction are found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda Devi, the friends like Sridham, Sudham, and the other coward boys, the gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates, and even the birds, beasts, cows, and calves are attracted. The flowers and fruits in the gardens are attracted. The waves of the Yamuna are attracted. And the land, sky, trees, plants, and animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan.
just contrary to the affairs of Vrindavan is the material world, where no one is attracted by Krishna and everyone is attracted by Maya. This is the difference between the spiritual and material worlds. Haranyakashipu, who was in the material world, was attracted by women and money, whereas Prahlad Maharaj, being in his natural position, was attracted by Krishna. In replying to Haranyakashipu's question about why Prahlad Maharaj had a deviant view, Prahlad said that his view was not deviant, for the natural position of everyone is to be attracted by Krishna. Haranyakashipu found this view deviant, Prahlad said, because of being unnaturally unattracted by Krishna. Haranyakashipu therefore needed purification. So this type of Maya, attracted to Maya mentality, what result does it bring? It brings the result of repeated birth and death. And when that contaminated consciousness, the false ego, and the material attractions removed, then one's natural consciousness can blossom forth, and then one can go back home, back to Godhead, back to Sri Vrindavan Dham. One must become purified from the unnatural covering over the soul. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll hear how Sundaramaka reacted next week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.